Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." Now my margin says for that word perilous, times of stress. Now who's this written to? Well, we know originally Paul the Apostle by the Spirit of God wrote this letter to Timothy. But we know that it went way beyond Timothy, this word, this letter. These have become letters to the church, to you and I today. So he says to believers in the Lord Jesus, because that's who the Bible's written to. He says, know this. It's something we got to know as believers. It's things we got to know. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Times of stress will come. Tough times are ahead. Now that might not sound like a very positive confession. To say, tough times are ahead. Times of stress are up ahead. There's some rough roads up ahead that you're going to have to journey down. That doesn't sound very good. We like to be able to say, no, I'll just pray all the trouble away. I'm just going to pray all the problems of the last days away. Or we might think, well, no, all the problems that are coming in the last days, now that's for those who don't know the Lord. You know, they're the ones that are going to have problems. But for you and I, it's just going to be smooth sailing. Well, that's not scriptural. I said that's not scriptural. Because he said to us, know this. You need to know this. If it didn't apply to you, then you wouldn't need to know this. If it was just for somebody else, then you don't need to know this. They need to know this. But it's written to you. And he says, know this, that in the last days. How many know we are living in the last days? Now the last days, that term, last days, officially started with the beginning of the church age in Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. And he began to preach the gospel. The church had gathered together in an upper room. And they had all just been filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been poured out because now Jesus had ascended to the Father and had received the gift of the Holy Spirit from him and poured him out on the church. And so the Holy Spirit has been given. This is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given, and now all we need to do is come and receive. Come and receive. In fact, there was a lady here in the church just this past week, came to the church, and Sister Emily shared with her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our new meeting room. And man, the Holy Spirit came upon her. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. I mean, had an awesome experience with God. I mean, she had an experience with God. Hallelujah. Just baptized in the Holy Spirit just this past week. See, now all folks have to do is receive what's already been given. We don't have to ask God to give the Holy Spirit anymore. We've just got to reach out and receive this gift. Because he has been poured out already when the early church had begun. And Peter stood up and he began to preach to all the people that had come to see what was going on. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He begins to preach. Peter begins to preach from the prophet Joel out of the Old Testament. And he said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. It shall come to pass when? In the last days. Well, it happened when? It happened on the day of Pentecost about 2,000 years ago. That's what happened. So then that would have been the beginning of the last days. So they've been living in the last days since. And so because things haven't ended yet, we're still in the last days. I heard someone say one time, we're in the last seconds. We're in the last seconds because we're at the end of the last days. We're in the last of the last days. Well, as we go further into the last days, times will get tougher. There'll be times of stress. So serious that Jesus himself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John referred to these times. Really went into a lot of great detail, especially in Matthew and in Luke, about the kind of tribulation that was going to come upon the earth. He said there'll be such tribulation that which the world has never experienced before. So there's going to be worldwide tribulation. There's going to be an increase of earthquakes and famines and all kinds of pestilence and terrible things taking place. And of course, we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen this incredible increase of natural disasters. Talking about nations rising up against nations. And of course, there's always been war, but now we're seeing things on a much larger scale. And the world is tottering on nuclear war. And the Bible, actually, and we might get into it in this series entitled Living in the Last Days. Get over in there and look at some of the scriptures that actually describe a nuclear bomb and the annihilating of life that it brings. So these are things we want to get into, and God wants us to realize the time that he has brought us into. Now, you and I don't have to be worried. We don't have to be frightened, even though times are going to get tougher living in this world. Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And it's amazing, you even go to the book of Revelation, and he tells some of the saints, he said, now, some of you, Satan's going to have you thrown in prison. But he said, be faithful unto death, and there'll be rewards for you. There'll be rewards. Well, when are you going to receive these rewards? You're going to receive these rewards on the other side. And what we have to realize is that there's more to life than just this natural physical world. We need to have our minds renewed that we are eternal beings. We are going to live forever with God in a place where there'll never be another trial or test again. So if you're ever in a trial or test, you're going through a tough time, you just need to stop and confess and remind yourself and say, I'm going to a place where I'll never get to do this again. I'll never get to do this again. For all eternity, no more trials, no more tests. Amen. So seize them. And God's had me say this to us several times because we need to constantly remind ourselves of it. Don't get down when things seem to go the wrong way in life. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. We don't start falling apart. When things go wrong, we don't go wrong. Friend, the Bible tells us, there's a whole book dedicated to it over in the book of Revelation, telling us that things are going to get tough. Things are going to get tough in the world. But if we are prepared for it, mentally, emotionally, if we're spiritually built up and ready for it, then we'll understand what's happening and we'll just be able to go right on through it. Because there are some things we're not going to be able to stop from coming to pass in the last days. There are just certain things that are going to happen. But thank God we can pray and believe God for the grace to go through it. To go through it and be faithful even unto death. Be faithful to the Lord. Notice over here in Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter. Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. So again, Timothy says, know this. Jude says, remember this. Know and remember what you've been told. There are going to be folks in the last days who are mockers. Professional mockers, I might add. There are folks that are skillful at mocking. And not just face to face with you, but man, there'll be folks, it already is, but it's going to increase. There's going to be folks on television, on the internet, it's going to mock the church, mock Christianity, mock our faith in God. There's going to be a whole lot of mocking going on, whole lot of ridicule going on for you and I who are going to walk and live by faith, who are going to talk according to the Word of God, act according to the Word of God. We are going to be considered strange. We're going to be considered peculiar. We're going to be considered out of touch. And there'll be a whole lot of persecution that will come. And he says, you need to remember this. You need to remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice over here in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation the 5th chapter. Things are about to break loose on planet Earth. They've been breaking loose, but things are about to break loose on the earth. Because we're living in the last days, aren't we? Now, we don't hear a lot of these kind of things, but that's why a lot of folks aren't ready. Their hearts are not prepared. They're not mentally, emotionally prepared for what's coming. A lot of folks have, you know, the idea that nothing's going to ever happen to us. We're not going to see any of these things. That's over in the Mideast. None of that's coming here. No troubles here. No, if you're a Christian living in the last days, there's going to be some worldwide tribulation that's coming. Now, you and I, thank God, don't have to suffer like the world suffers. There is going to be some suffering according to the flesh. But thank God, when plagues break out, sicknesses and incurable diseases, maybe biological warfare is implemented. You know, there's people right now plotting and planning to do these kind of things? To implement biological warfare. I mean, there are warped minds. There are people thinking about how they can kill you. Now, you say, I don't know if I like this, Pastor. Well, we need to understand that's reality. I remember I was reading over there in the book of Ephesians. And I came across a scripture where it talked about there are those who lie in wait to deceive. And I just had to stop because, you know, I'm so far from that. You know, I'm working towards being as transparent as I can, be as real as possible, love people with the love of God. I mean, that's what I'm working for, right? That's what you're working toward. So I come across a scripture that says there's folks that they lie in wait to deceive. This is what they're doing. This is what they're plotting and they're planning to deceive people, to take advantage of people, to hurt people. And I read it and I just had to stop and I thought, now Lord, you got to help me with that. Because that's a real tilt for me. That's hard for me to comprehend. That's hard for me to grasp because I so don't go there, thank God. Thank God we're renewing our mind going in a completely different direction. But yet it's written there for me. He's telling me there are folks that are like this. And I'm writing this to you so that you know it. You remember it. You're aware of it. That's what's going on. And so I had asked the Lord for revelation concerning that. To help us not to be shocked, taken by surprise. How could this happen? No, we know exactly how it could happen. If they can do what they did to Jesus, who is perfect, walked it. He was love on legs. You understand? He lived perfect, no sin in him. He was here to be a sacrifice for you and I. I mean, he is wonderful. And look what they did to him. And then he tells us, he warns us again. He says, a servant is not above his master. A servant is not above his master. What they do to me, they will also do to you. Didn't he say that? Come on, you with me this morning? He said that. So we're not, we understand that. We say, okay, all right, yes, thank you, Lord, for showing me these things so that I can be ready. Because a big part of not being ready is just people being shocked. A big part of folks being overtaken by these things, by all the evil that is coming in the last days, is them being shocked and in fear over it. Jesus said men's hearts will fail for the fear of the expectation of the things that are coming. There's going to be such an expectation of horrific things coming that men's hearts will fail them. People's faith in the church will fail them because of their fear of what might happen next. So if we get the fear out and we have ourselves already full of faith, then we'll be able to hold our shield up and say, yeah, Jesus said this was coming. And while the whole world is in a panic and they're running around and they're frantic, we got our shield up saying, yeah, man, this is the last days, folks. He said it was coming. And we're not taken by surprise. And therefore, we're not overcome by it. Big part of not being overcome is just not being shocked and yielding to the fear of these things. I'm not afraid to preach these things, talk about these things, even think about these things. I've written a whole book on these things. And I'm not in fear at all. Not worried about it at all. I believe it's coming, but I'm not worried about it at all. Why? Because I'm full of faith concerning it. See? And that's the whole key to it. The whole key to going through any kind of trial and test in life is go through the thing in faith. And it makes things smoother. No matter how rough the road is, praise God, you can go through it smoother. You know, there's some vehicles that they've gone to great lengths to block out sound, road sound, engine noise, block out all these different noises. I mean, they've got all kinds of shock absorbers and everything's padded so that you don't even really feel the bumps in the road. And some vehicles can just handle the road really nice, just really smooth. Then there's other vehicles, I mean, from the tires to everything. I mean, you feel everything. You feel every bump. You feel every uncomfortable thing that is out there on the road. Well, see, as we develop our faith, we're putting some good padding in our seat. We're putting some good mufflers on our car. We're blocking out a lot of that road noise. All that noise, all that chaos that is in the world. Amen. And here's the thing about it. If you're faithful in the little trials and tests, you'll be faithful in the bigger ones. You'll be able to rule over the bigger ones. So you see, we're in training right now. All those little things that you don't feel are little, they're training you. It's an opportunity. Exercise your faith. Develop your faith. Work out your faith. And if you're able to overcome the little things, how do you overcome the big things? The same way. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember what he said. Remember what he said through his apostles, the prophets, and so forth. Keep your eyes on him. And if you can keep your focus on him, glory to God, it's going to be all right. I said it's going to be all right. You will triumph and you will win. I said you'll triumph and you'll win. Hey, man. And you can have joy through the journey. I'm telling you, we need to have joy through the journey. That's a big part of being an effective witness in these last days. You and I are going to be a light to this world because when everything feels so dark, people are being gripped by the darkness, you and I are bright. You and I are full of light because we're plugged into what's on the inside, not so much what's on the outside. Our joy and peace is based on what's on the inside, not what's based on the outside. So we see what's going on the outside, but we're plugged into the inside. We're plugged into the Holy Spirit. We're plugged into our faith. We're remembering the Word of God. We know these things. We're ready. Now, great. If life goes on as it has always been for us, and we just deal with the little hurdles in life, and we go on, mature to a ripe old age, and go on to heaven, great. This message did not hurt you. Right? But if things of catastrophic proportion begin to happen and there are all kinds of disasters and plagues that begin to break out, a lot of it man-made, in these last days, this message will have helped you. True? Amen. So we need it either way. Because again, what we're learning here, we can apply to the everyday trials and tests of life. And I think if we have a bigger vision for big trials, last days size calamities, if we have a vision for that, it's going to make dealing with the little things, the daily trials, a whole lot easier to us. Because we're thinking so well beyond this. This is like nothing. We'll be able to go through life a whole lot easier. But if that's like the biggest thing in the world to you, the car broke down, finances are low, how are we going to pay this? How are we going to pay that? Margaret's not acting right. She's driving me crazy. You know, whatever it is, if that's like the biggest thing to you, then it's going to be, you're going to have to work to get through that thing. So let's get a bigger vision for trials and tests. Let's get a last day size vision for it. You understand what I'm saying? Let's get a last day size vision. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're living in the last days. And so God knew when you came out of the womb and entered into this world that you are entering into this time. And he has directed you and is directing you and preparing you so that these times you're ready for. You're ready for. You're ready for everything that's coming. Hallelujah. And you can rejoice and say, glory to God. I mean, God thought so highly of me that he placed me in this time in history that the prophets and the apostles have been talking about for thousands of years. And here I am, right here, positioned to be right in the middle of it. And I'm telling you, some of us, when we get to heaven, when this thing gets wrapped up, when we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked to find out that a lot of the apostles and prophets that we look up to as we look back to what they did in the past, we're going to be shocked to find out that they are excited about the things we did in the last days, because you and I are going to be the superheroes of faith in the last days. Huh? They're the superheroes back then in their time, but we're the superheroes of our time. And it could be that right now, they're looking over the banister of heaven, watching us, saying, look at these guys. Look at these. They are getting themselves ready. Oh, what things they got coming ahead of them. Oh, man. They are going to display the love, the power of God. They are going to display the goodness of God in exceedingly bad times. They're going to display faith. They're going to just, in a time of gross unbelief. I mean, unbelief is going to be so prevalent in the last days that Jesus, in looking forward to these times, said that when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? That's how faithless it's going to be. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, bless God, if I'm here, yes. If you're here, yes. What's the answer? Yes! Yes, why? Because we're not going to be intimidated by the mockers. We're not going to back down and back up because of the professional and exceedingly great mocking that is coming in the last days. Because we're ready for it. You start hearing these folks say, yeah, I know, I heard all about you. I knew you'd be here. And you got to guard yourself. You got to watch. When it comes to television, when it comes to the internet, watch what you read, watch what you're looking at. Because there's folks with an agenda that in every movie, in every newscast, in every sitcom, every program, they've got an agenda. And they're undermining the church. They're undermining Jesus. They're undermining Christianity. They're mocking you. They're making you out to be a fool. And if you watch and listen to all that kind of stuff, you may become intimidated to be able to be who you're called to be. But guard yourself and fill yourself up. Fill yourself up with what God says about you. Understand that we are a very special people in a very, very special time. These are some wonderful times to be a part of. Hallelujah. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So there's going to be an increase of grace, just like there's an increase of sin. Just like there's an increase of darkness, for those that will put themselves in position to walk in the light, oh man, there's a great grace coming. I said there's a great grace coming. There's a light, there's a glory that's coming for those that are going to keep themselves in the faith and love of God. There's a glory coming. And a lot of things right now that are a little difficult maybe to get a hold of by faith, it's going to come easy. Laying hands on people to get them healed. I believe it's going to come really, it's going to be an anointing. It's going to be just so increased that it's going to be easy to get people healed. It's going to be easy to get people delivered if you will be one that will stay in that place. Stay in that place of faith, trusting God in these last days, not being intimidated, not being pushed back. Why don't you just say right now, say, I will not be intimidated by mockers. I will not be pushed back. I will not be shut down. But I'll get bolder. Hallelujah. Lord, make me bold with strength in my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. This is the Apostle John. He is out on an island where he is a prisoner. He's being persecuted and he has now been imprisoned. But while in prison, he is in the Spirit. And while in the Spirit, he has a vision and he's taken up into heaven. Isn't that an awesome thing? It don't matter where you are in the natural, where are you in the Spirit? I mean, here he was in prison, and yet it's not where he was. That's not what he was all connected to. The Bible says, he said that he was in the Spirit. If we go back and look at it, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he began to hear things, and he began to see things, and began to experience things out of that place called the Spirit. And that's what he was enjoying. Happy would have loved to have had this kind of vision. Happy would have loved to have a vision where you're taken up to heaven. You see the throne of God. You see the angelic beings. Happy would like to take a little visit up there sometime and just have a vision of these things. Huh? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Would you be willing to be banned to an island in prison to have it? I said, well, no. Well, see, John, he was in prison, heavily persecuted, but more grace was given to him. More glory was given to him. See, the more you're persecuted, the more glory will be given to you to meet that persecution. More grace will be given to you. More of the ability, strength, and life of God will be increased upon your life, so that these things don't overtake you. So man, he's in prison, but he's not really suffering so much in prison because man, he's in the glory. He's in the glory. He's experiencing heavenly things. He's getting all kinds of revelation from God. In fact, I remember back to the Iranian crisis back in the 80s. Jimmy Carter was president at the time, and there were a bunch of our hostages, a bunch of our fellow citizens, Americans that were being held hostage in Iran. How many people remember that? Well, after they had gotten released, the one was a Christian. And after some time, after some years, he said that he actually missed some of those days back when he was being held hostage, even though the conditions were horrific. It was terrible. I mean, the mental games that they would play with you, the conditions, the cell that they were confined to, all these things were terrible in the natural. He said, but he never experienced the presence of God in that place at that time, ever in his life before or after. After he got out, he didn't experience God to that degree anymore. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. So more was required of him now that he was out of there, to press in and seek the Lord. But he didn't have to press in very hard in that place of heavy persecution and darkness. And it was so great and wonderful in that place, God's presence was, that he actually wished he could go back there and experience those times with God. Come on. Isn't that awesome? You know, you think of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He was taken and they started throwing stones and rocks at him to stone him to death. I mean, he was a man, went around, did miracles, just had the face of an angel, the Bible said. Well, when you think of a face of an angel, what do you see? What do you see? A face of an angel. A lot of folks just picture like a little baby face with rosy cheeks. Okay? No. You got to interpret the Bible with the Bible. So if the Bible said they looked at him and he had the face of an angel, that means what? That means he had light coming out of his face. The glory of God was all over him. He must have looked something like that angel look that appeared to Daniel that we read about in the Word of God. His face was like lightning. Hallelujah. See, they're about ready to kill this man. And the glory of God comes on him. He's not even afraid to die. He doesn't cry out, God, deliver me. Jesus, help me. You know what he cries out? God, forgive them. Don't lay this charge against them. And then the Bible says he fell asleep. His body fell asleep. And he left. Right before he left also, he was standing there, and the Bible says he looked up and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. He looked up. He saw the glory of God. See, what's happening? These guys are moving in to kill him. He's coming under severe, life-threatening persecution. And so what happens? The glory comes. The grace comes. Come on. That glory came upon him, and he looks, he sees into heaven, and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow. That's the way to go, friends. That's the way to go. Glory, before a single rock was thrown. I mean, they're gathering the rock. He looks up, and there's the glory of God. See, more glory was given to him. More grace was given to him because of the measure of persecution and trials and tests that would be a measure to him in the natural. Amen. He looked up and he saw these things. And isn't it amazing? Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father. The Bible tells us Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But in this case, Jesus, seeing the good preaching of Stephen and knowing that he was about to give up his life, Jesus is sitting there. And of course, one move from Jesus and all of heaven is moving. Right? King of kings, Lord of lords. He's been sitting on his throne now for quite a while. And all of a sudden, he gets up. How would you like Jesus to get up for you? All of heaven looks. What's going on down there? He's up. The king just stood up. The king just stood up. All of heaven. I mean, it shot through heaven like lightning. You just know it did. Jesus just stood up. And Jesus looks down. And he's getting ready to receive Stephen into heaven. A standing welcome. Hallelujah. A standing ovation, we could say. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, that's overcoming. That's victory. This life is a vapor. We've got eternity ahead of us. Hallelujah. We're investing in forever, not just in now. And man, don't you want to live a kind of life or die in a way that gets the Lord to stand on his feet and welcome you like that? If you just think of it carnally, oh. But if you can get yourself over there and think spiritually, let heaven become real to you. Let spiritual things, heavenly things, become even more real to you than natural things. Then, man, you can rejoice. You can get excited about it. Can you say amen? Amen. So Jesus, he stood up and welcomed Stephen. But here he is. In Revelation chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now this is God the Father. And he's sitting on his throne, and a scroll was written inside and out that he was holding in his hand. And it was sealed with seven seals. This book is sealed. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So here's this book, and it's sealed. Nobody can open it up. Nobody can see the things that are in it. Everything in it is a mystery. It's all hidden. Verse 4. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, or look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now notice verse 5. He says, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold the lamb. Behold the lion. Behold the lion. Look, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Root of David has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And he says, so I look. And what do you think he was expecting to see? Expect to see a lion. He was just so, look, a lion. And he looks and sees this lamb, pitiful, beaten, as though it had been slain, standing there. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I mean, you think about how intimidating a lion could be. I really don't want to find out firsthand. In other words, I don't want to be found out. I don't want to be out in the jungle somewhere, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm out there, and all of a sudden, it wasn't good enough. You turn around, and there's this lion looking at you. Oh, that's enough to just paralyze you right there, isn't it? Doesn't have to. We got an account of one of King David's mighty men. He saw a lion, and he was cold. It was a snowy day. And a lion had fallen into a pit, and the lion was down there in that pit, and he looked around, and he jumped in there and killed the lion because he wanted to warm himself with the fur. That was a faith man. That's faith right there. And there's folks like that that have existed, and they're here in the world today. And some of them are in training and being prepared right now over to a place called Life of Faith Bible Church. And through the Living the Life broadcast, God's getting them ready. So you think about how intimidating a lion can be. Man, a lion jump out at you. So Jesus, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet, look how he appears to John as a lamb that had been slain. Think about the humility of Jesus. I mean, he's a lion of lions, but yet he comes as a lamb. He is the Lamb of God. He is both lion and lamb. And guess what? That's exactly who you are, because he's in you. He's in you. That lion is in you. There's a lion in there. Come on. Now, some of you know that about yourself. What you don't know is there's a lamb in there. Some of you need to hear that. There's a lamb in there, a little gentle, loving lamb. Yes, darling. Yes, gracious, loving, tender, can guide people, help people. You're gentle. It's all that gentleness of a lamb. Nobody's intimidated by a lamb. You go to the zoo, you want to pet the lamb. They put lions down in that area where you can't get near them. Right? So you're all a bunch of lambs when you need to be a lamb, and you're a lion when you need to be a lion. It's all in there. We need to develop both. You need to develop both in these last days. You need to know when to be sweet and gracious and loving and gentle, and know when to rise up and roar. Let your voice be heard. Rise up and say, ha ha ha. No further. I will not be pushed back any further. Can you say amen? So Jesus was both here. He appeared. And notice this. It says that he was found worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. He was the one found worthy to do it. Amen. What is this book? What is this book that's been sealed? Friend, I testify to you today. You hold it in your lap if you have a Bible with you. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ. Some kind of veil over the Old Testament. How many know you can't read something if it's got a veil over it? Can you? It's closed to you. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Talking about the children of Israel that have rejected the Messiah. And for all unbelievers, there's a veil over their heart. They cannot understand what's written in the Word of God in the Old Testament. Verse 16, nevertheless, now watch this. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The seal is loosed. The document is opened. Eyes are opened to see things pertaining to the new covenant. To see God's redemptive plan that has been hidden from eternity past. Now through Jesus Christ, by turning to Him, the end time plan of God can be clearly seen for those who turn to Him. The end time plan of God can be clearly seen. Quickly look over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians, the third chapter. It was sealed up to the time that Jesus was slain and rose from the dead and came before the Father. Do you remember Jesus, before he was slain, he said to his disciples, he said, I have many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, whom the Father will give you in my name, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. What's he talking about? He's talking about after he ascends to the Father, after having been slain, raised from the dead, now he will stand before the Father and be able to remove the seals from the book, and the Holy Spirit will be given, and through the Holy Spirit, we can understand what's in the book. He said, there's things I want to say, you can't understand them right now. There was things the prophets said. The prophets themselves didn't understand the things that they were writing. That's what the Bible tells us. But glory to God. Now, everything can be plain and open to you and I. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages or past generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And of course, through them, it's being revealed to you and I. Notice that. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known these things to me, to make known to you. What is the last book of the Bible called? Revelation. The book of Revelation. What is it a revelation of? It's a revelation of this mystery that's been hidden from the past. It's a revelation of what was in that book that now Jesus was able to open and by the Holy Spirit reveal to you and I. Oh, glory to God. We are a privileged people. And as we get closer and closer to the end of the end, more light and more revelation is going to flow to those whose eyes are opened, whose hearts are open to receive this revelation that God has for us, so that we'll understand and know things that not only the prophets didn't know, but even Paul himself didn't know he was writing about. There's all kinds of things he even wrote. He didn't even know the half of what he was writing. Amazing mysteries have been hidden, but bless God, they're being revealed to you and I today. And you and I need to get a hold of everything that's in there. We need to get a hold of everything that is in this book concerning you and I who are living in these times. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.